Welcome to the Georgia Bulldogs Podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Now, here's this week's episode of Coach Kirby Smart's Monday Media Conference.
Off to Missouri, I think Barry Odom and his staff have done a tremendous job. I got a lot of respect for him. He's a guy that I share a lot of ideas with and discuss a lot of things with when we're at SEC meetings. Very similar to me, a defensive guy, and also coaching his alma mater. But, you know, I think he's done a great job motivating this team and putting them in a good situation. They are extremely physical. They are a tough matchup from their defensive perspective because they're so big and physical up front. You look at historically against us, they've done a really good job. They are top probably 15 in the country in almost every defensive category, and they do a good job of that. You know, their offense has been very explosive. They're tied for the most plays over 50 yards in our conference, and they've done a good job with that. They got a tight end that's tough to match up with and a quarterback that's played in a lot of big football games. So I got a lot of respect for the staff, what they've done, and what their team's been able to do. And I know coming off an off week, they'll be ready and prepared.
Kirby, Dan was lamenting after Saturday's game about only running 52 plays and having 24 minutes of possession time. I know coaches have different views on time of possession and the importance of it. Is that one of y'all's team goals? I know y'all have a bunch of objectives, and is getting up into the mid-30s in time of possession, is that a goal? And I guess as a follow-up, how much does that help you when you're winning that each week, when you have a closing stretch like this with five Power 5 games with no open dates?
Well, objective goals for our offense, one of them is to win time of possession. It's one of the 15, 20 things we list, and we hit some of those in the game. We didn't hit some of those time of possession. Winning that battle, our offense, they won that battle, and that was important to them. It's important in every game that you win the time of possession, but it can be misleading for explosive teams that are scoring all the time. But I'm really focused on Missouri and how we can kind of get ourselves in a position to play these guys.
Coach, extremely motivated and physical is a recipe for disaster after what you're coming off emotionally. Is there any way to solve that besides talking about it?
Just your actions speak louder than your words, and the actions you take towards practice and the actions you take towards preparation are all things that are in our control. I don't think talking about it does it. I think the actions speak louder than your words, and that'll be important to our guys, you know, how we prepare and how we get ready and what kind of plan we put together to help us with these guys, because they do a good job of making you play left-handed a lot of times, and Derek does a good job offensively of mixing things up. They've got some good matchups, especially with some of their big guys.
Coach, I think your defense ranks at the top of the SEC in most categories, second in passing efficiency, and yet – you've only got one interception in league play. What would you attribute that to, and how has the game changed? I think I looked at your stats, and you had eight or nine. A guy like J.R. Reed has one. I mean, is the game that different than when you played?
I wouldn't say it's that different. We play a little different style because we're a match defense for the most part. I think a lot of interceptions come through zone defenses and being able to see the ball a lot of times. We're not always looking at the ball. We're looking at the man, whether it's a zone matchup or a man matchup. But it's what we think gives us the best chance to make people inefficient. And it doesn't always promote a lot of interceptions. I mean, historically, we have not had a ton of interceptions. We got to do a better job getting turnovers. There's no doubt about that. But that comes with forcing them, havoc, tip balls, batted balls, strip outs, you know, knocking the crap out of people, ripping the ball out. Those things all affect turnovers. But we've been short in interceptions for sure.
When you're inquiring about graduate transfers and guys who, you know, spend a lot of time at other programs and want to come play here, how much work or how important is that sort of mental aspect that they have and sort of their willingness to come in and work right away just as important as targeting, you know, guys who feel a specific need for this team?
Not sure I understand it. I mean, what are you asking?
Just how sort of important, you know, I'm trying to understand, you know, the mental capacity and how sort of the mental side to it.
Most of the time, you know enough about those guys to know they've got the mental capacity. I mean, they've played in an offense or defense for a year. You usually have some kind of connection to them because otherwise they probably wouldn't be considering you. It's not just completely out of the blue. You usually know something about them. You know a coach that used to coach them. You knew them out of high school through recruiting. But you have some connection and you feel comfortable that they're going to fit in your program. Otherwise, you don't bring them in.
Following up on your on your opening statement after Florida, where you referenced the video of Michael Johnson that you showed the team, what was the underlying message there that kind of gave the team some motivation? And then also, do you guys pick and choose a special or a documentary like that show every week? And how do y'all go about choosing which one?
We use outside sources. We use Trevor Moad, a consulting firm that Trevor and I've had a relationship for a long time, and we don't always use them, but we usually come up with some kind of message, regardless of what the game is. There's a point to it and an emphasis for it. And this week, it was more about for him. It was an opportunity to make a decision that he wanted to do something rather than listening to the outside world and all the different pressures. He chose to wear gold shoes because he expected to win the race, and that was a decision that he made, and he made it internally and wasn't really worried about everything outside that. And that's really what it's about. I mean, because the men in this room that come in here for meetings every day and fight and do all the things, they're the ones that matter. They make the decisions that determine the outcome of the game, nobody else.
Kirby, I imagine it would vary from play to play, but from snap to Jake releasing a pass, is there a certain amount of time you want him to have the ball? And, I mean, ideally when you have a goal to hit. And also, how has the pass protection been, if you look at this season as a whole? I know what the sacks say, but how do you view that?
I think the pass protection has been excellent. I've repeatedly said that. I thought early in the year was when it was at its, I guess you could say, weakest, but I mean, coming in here after the Vanderbilt game, that was a concern for me because we took some shots and some hits, and they've improved. They worked hard on it. They've gotten better. As far as snap to throw, it really depends on the route structure and it depends on the protection. You know, some protections, it's quicker. It's meant to be that way. Got to get the ball out. Some route structures, ball's out quick, and then other ones is longer and longer developing. But our guys have done a good job up front. That's one thing they do really well is pass pro. And it's like Sam says, you get good at what you practice at. Well, we practice that too.
Kirby, I know you've got to prepare for Missouri's best game of the year, but they have had this Jekyll and Hyde effect of being very good at home and struggling away. Have you watched enough film to know what has kind of led to such a wide discrepancy, given what they did to South Carolina at home and their struggles on the road?
No, I don't look into it much, to be honest with you. I think it's not really to be – it's not a big deal. I mean, the bottom line is I know the football team they got, I know the coaching staff they got, I know the players they got, and I can watch the tape and know they've got a really physical football team. You know, one of the games was played in some extreme weather conditions, which I know how that impacts the game, and I know that impacts when you're playing against a guy that's probably not a quarterback, he's an athlete. It completely changed the game for how they played. So it's very different.
Coach, I wonder if you could update the status on Tyson Campbell. I thought I saw him warming up, but then I thought I might have seen him in the medical tent or once at one point, or did he just not play? He wasn't in participation chart?
Yeah, Tyson warmed up, felt pretty good, felt like he could go if he needed to, didn't feel like he was 100%, and just never came an opportunity to play. So there's no other medical tent.
Kirby, what teams have done kind of attacking nickel and dime backs middle of the field? Is it a concern or is it just something that is going to happen when they're not going after Stokes and the outside as much?
No, I don't. I mean, I think that's where teams attack you based on what you're in. I mean, there were some things we were giving up in that game that was probably more inside routes, and we tried to take them away a lot of times. A lot of times you take them away by coverage. Sometimes you take them away by leverage. Sometimes you just get beat. But all those combinations are there, and, you know, you rob Peter to pay Paul. So you move everybody inside. You're more susceptible outside. It's really about pitching to it and being able to change things up. And I think Dan and the defensive staff's doing a good job of that.
Coach, can you talk about Jake's comfortability with Cager? It just seems like when he's out there, it's like they have a relationship, and that kind of feeds into the other receivers. It just seems like they kind of get more comfortable when he's out there.
Yeah, I'd say he's comfortable with him. He's comfortable with some of our other wideouts. I mean, some of those plays Cager got were just – they weren't featured Cager plays. He was the second, third, fourth option on some of them. Some of them he may be primary. Some of them he's primary based on coverage. Some of them he's not. But some of them Jake had time to work to him to make the decision on who to throw it to. So I don't think it was a scheme deal. It was, some of them he was just the best option. He was the open option in the zone. But Jake's comfortable with all our guys. I think he's got a good rapport with all the receivers.
Kirby, you mentioned several times this year that the run game in the SEC is more of a cumulative effect. You don't come in and move guys off the ball right away. With where you're at in the schedule and with the gauntlet you've got coming up, does that take on maybe a little bit more of an extra importance to kind of stick with that run game and wear teams down?
Well, I don't think you ever just stick with something to bang your head against the wall. I mean, if you're not successful doing it, you can't abandon it totally. But you got to do what works, and you got to have enough change-ups to keep them honest. And I think we always try to do that. I mean, you know, of all the games, that was probably the toughest game throughout because there was never a large success, you know, in the run game where it was like other games where you've been able to take over or third and fourth quarter really be able to power it through them. That was tough sled, and give Florida credit. They played really physical at the line of scrimmage. These guys will be the same way. They got a good defensive front. It's just hard to run the ball in our league, and our success has been more second-half oriented than first half for the most part.
Coach, after you spent 2 weeks hearing about how you weren't as good as people thought you were, and now this week your guys will hear how great they are again, which one's tougher as a coach to deal with?
Yeah, I don't know that either one's tougher because I don't really try to pay attention to it. I try to emphasize to the kids that inconsistency is consistent. So the highs and the lows are going to be consistent as far as everybody's going to say one way or the other. It's always higher or lower than it really is. And as coaches, we always say that. It's never good as it is. It's never as bad as it seems. Most important thing is that our kids understand what makes you successful is what you do, not what you listen to.
Following up on that in a way, I guess, so as you kind of look at the gauntlet that you called the meat and potatoes of schedule last week or whenever, starting in Florida, but when was kind of the buy-in moment, and how do you get all of your players to buy in and understand the importance of the rest of the schedule going the so-called 1-0 every week?
Well, we don't look past the gauntlet of Missouri because our team respects them and knows what they've got. That's really it's a single-minded focus on one thing. We can't look past that. And as far as buy-in, they never didn't buy in. They have bought in the whole entire time. There's been a sense of urgency for our guys for a long time. Just executed and got to get better. And most important thing is they understand they have to get better to get where we want to go.
Coach, after battling Komet with Notre Dame and Pitts with Florida, what does Albert O present for Missouri? Is he different? Is he similar?
Yeah, he'll have some good tape to watch, that's for sure, because we've had some tight ends have good performances against us. So they'll have some good things to look at, and he's a good player. I mean, I think back to last year, he was probably the toughest matchup I thought we had last year. It just seems like he stuck out more in that game. And he's a really good player. They convinced him to stay, and he's done a good job improving himself this year, being a more complimentary football player, more than just a receiving tight end. He's done more than that this year, and they're doing a good job using him, and he's a matchup problem. He is a big athletic guy, you know, different than Pitts. I mean, he's big.
Sticking with the tight end theme, your tight ends, I know Jake targeted them maybe a little more the other day. What's his comfort level with those guys right now? And I think we're kind of curious what was on the menu with you and Jake for y'all's lunches.
I don't even remember what it was. I'm sure it was not healthy if I was eating it. But he, as far as tight ends, he never doesn't not target the tight ends. We never go in the game and go, we're not going to target the tight ends this game. We're going to move to the wideouts. We take what the defense gives us. And so much of what people think is – there's a, just a choice or a decision made to throw the ball or not throw the ball to the tight ends. It's a game of matchups. It's a game of leverages. It's a game of coverages. And any good football coach will tell you that. It's not, going to this guy. You know, that's the guy. It's not like that. You got to go with matchups and where people play you. And the catches that the tight ends had in the game the other night, were the right throw. So that's where he went with it. And we'll continue to do that. And you take advantage of what the defense gives you.
Do you take any inspiration from, you know, seeing what Barry Odom has done with their defense and what, like, has impressed you the most with how he's kind of, like, allowed them to flourish?
Hey, they've done a good job every year he's been there to me. I mean, they're aggressive style. They load the box on you. They make you play one dimensional. They're very multiple and they disguise things well. We always study what they do because we're always trying to get better. And they do different things than we do. We are not like philosophically built the same as them. I mean, yeah, stop the run, don't let them score, don't give up big plays, turnovers. Yeah, we're all the same there. But when you look at schematically, they're very different than us. And we're always trying to steal some ideas from them. And I got a lot of respect for the way they play and how they play defense.
Coach, just for clarity on that, following up on the Campbell question, so is he cleared to practice? He could have played, and then also did you come out of the game healthy otherwise?
Yes, he practiced last week. I think I talked about it last week. He went Tuesday and Wednesday pretty much the whole practice. It bothered him some, having been on the turf more because of the weather. We were forced inside, and so we kind of shut him down Thursday. And then for the game, pregame, he felt pretty good. He felt like he could play if he needed to. But he did not feel 100%. And we never really had the opportunity to put him in and play him. We were going to play him if we needed to. And we didn't feel like we had to. We were playing pretty well. So that's what it usually goes into. He'll continue to work this week. If he has a good week of practice and he feels 100%, then we'd sure like for him to play. We got a lot of roles that we can play a guy as fast and as talented as him. So we want to try to work him in some way. As far as other guys, yeah, pretty healthy coming out of it. I can't think of anybody that didn't finish the game out.
It seems like most of the shoots, excuse me, you played a lot of younger quarterbacks, guys with not much experience. But this week you'll be facing a guy who's been around a long time, veteran. What kind of difference will that make as far as your defense's preparation?
Well, I don't think it'll change how we prepare. We'll prepare for his style, which he's a really good athlete. They run him. He's got quarterback runs. They make you count extra hats in the box when he's a quarterback run guy. I mean, it's in a lot of ways, it's they can be Lynn Bowden from Kentucky with a really good passer back there. Okay, so now you're defending two things. That's tough, and the quarterback run element is hard, always hard to prepare for. But he's got a lot of experience in big games. It's not like he hasn't played in big games and been in these kind of stadiums, been in the SEC and also playing at Clemson. So got a lot of respect for the way he plays. He plays with toughness, passion. He runs the ball. He scrambles. He makes a bunch of throws. I mean, really good player.
You had so many openings at wide receiver. I'm sure Georgia would have been an attractive option for any graduate wide receiver looking for a new home. I'm wondering when you considered Cage, or did you have some others that had expressed interest in Georgia?
We had a couple reach out, but it wasn't a comfortable marriage, or we didn't know if they were going to be able to contribute. It's a tough decision because you're betting on this guy, and we haven't been 100%. You know, we've had guys that came in here and didn't play as graduate transfers, and you're looking for the right fit, and we just felt comfortable that it was the right fit with him, and he was the one that made the most sense.
Two more questions. What's sort of the differences or challenges that the coaching staff has from a recruiting standpoint of hosting visitors for a noon or say 3:30 game and hosting for a 7 o'clock Saturday night game?
Differences, I would say obviously the earlier when you've got more time to go to dinner, do more afterwards, it's more a relaxed atmosphere because the game is over, as opposed to, you know, a late game, you're with them all day. Our assistant coaches try to spend time with them, and you try to entertain them as much as you can, but you're obviously preparing your own players for the game and the buildups there. So it's tough after the game on a night game. You got a short window, they're tired, they want to go to bed, and then you're looking at Sunday to spend time with them, but yet you still got to prepare for another game in some instances.
I guess this is another night game logistical question, but do you have a policy on how much TV your players are watching throughout the course of a day when there's a 7 o'clock kick, or do you view that as a distraction? Because obviously there's a big game in the West this week.
Yeah, I don't know how I would monitor that. If you figure that out, let me know, because I'm not the TV police. So we don't monitor that, and we have walkthroughs and try to prepare it mentally.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Historic game rewinds and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dogs!